Good morning, brothers and sisters. Have you shouted for joy yet? Let us shout for joy. It's so glorious. We can overcome all things through the Lord. We were tearing abroad in the past. We were pressed by the enemies. In fact, we couldn't lift up our heads and were full of tears. Well, but the Lord changed our entire life. We became the new creations. We can challenge all things through Him. His love will never change, and there is nothing can separate us from the love of the Lord. We can overcome even the persecution and sufferings through the Lord. We are more than conquerors through Him. So I like to sing a hymn with you. That's Triumph Over All Things in God's Family Hymnal, the 11th, Psalm 176. We will sing the third and the fourth stanzas. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. The love of the Lord is stronger than death. It is as bright and warm as the film. Many waters cannot quench, nor can be replaced by the worldly wealth. Oh, let's praise my Lord, for I'm sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I hope you have time to quiet yourself and respond to Him. Or you can sing another hymn to worship the Lord. Let's have some time to be with Him face to face. You can turn off the recording and we'll read the Bible when you're done. May the Lord bless you. Brothers and sisters, we'll read the letter to Romans chapter 7, verse 1 to 6. Or do you not know, brothers, for I'm speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives? For a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, he is free from that law. And if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to Him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruits for God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruits for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in a new way of the Spirit, and not in the old way of the written code. As I mentioned in the beginning, Paul had never been to the church in Rome, yet he was longing to go there. Truly, he loved to visit the brothers and sisters in Rome, and he also liked to preach the gospel in Rome for the Lord and gain the souls. However, he was facing the Greek persecution and was being chased. The brothers and sisters in Rome came from all over the world. They were the Jewish, those believers who were Gentile, some were eager to pursue. None of them had ever met Paul, so they didn't know much about him. Does Paul hope to give them some basic teachings and fundamental truths through his letters, such as the issues of laws? Since there were Jews in the Church of Rome, the gospel and the truth of justification by faith were also mentioned in order the unbelieving Gentiles who had the heart to pursue the truth knew how to believe in Jesus. Hence, Paul explained clearly about the gospel. The sin of man was mentioned specifically in chapter 1 to chapter 3. Chapter 4 and chapter 5 mention how we are justified by faith and become new creations, and how a believer in the Lord shall pursue in chapter 6, how to live a victorious life and enjoy the fruits of salvation. I remember my sharing in chapter 6. Paul liked to tell us our life is united with the Lord, our relationship with God, and how to have a glorious life and enjoy the peak of salvation from faith for faith in the letter to Romans chapter 6 to chapter 8. Well, your heart will be even more excited when you read chapter 8. So what is the letter to Romans chapter 7 is about? Seems it is so difficult to understand and master it. Actually, it is not the case. Paul liked to explain some spiritual issues in this chapter, especially the struggle in our hearts. He even quoted himself as an example for the struggles he experienced spiritually. But how could he overcome them? Paul really liked every believer in the Lord to be free spiritually from the struggles and feel ambivalent. For instance, we like to do well but cannot do it. Don't want to commit sins but feel like we are bound by the law. Paul liked to release their hearts, especially the Jews, as the Jews have been lived under the law. They didn't understand that they were already free after they believed in the Lord. They were no longer under the law. They were already dead under the law. They were the new creations and should live to God. The law were no longer their master. The Lord was God and the Lord Jesus. They belonged to God forever. Thus, they should live to God rather than the law. Many people find this chapter was difficult to understand. I think one of the reasons is that we are not the Jewish. We don't understand there is a big contradiction for the Jews have about the law and the grace they received. Truly, they like to live according to the law their fathers followed. But after their conversion, they might walk in newness of life, which was completely different, and they should live to God. I guess if we are the Jewish, we will have a better understanding of the difficulties and struggles in their hearts. When I read chapter 7, I felt Paul was really patient. He explained to the Jews and untied the knot in their hearts step by step. And Paul even shared his own experience, for he was a Jewish who highly regarded the law. He mentioned his spiritual struggles and the pain he experienced after his conversion. His expressions were very pervasive and should make the Jews feel better as they have similar experience. Hence, brothers and sisters, if we want to help brothers and sisters and help those who are determined to seek to know God, we shouldn't deliver the truth by just saying you should do this and that according to the Bible. Brothers and sisters, you see, Paul, who was not the same, he was very kind and patient in teaching brothers and sisters. Not only he answered a question from the brothers and sisters step by step, he even shared his own testimonies as the example. When I read chapter 7, I thought Paul wrote affectionately. Truly, I could feel his compassion and understanding. I believe that the brothers and sisters in Rome would feel Paul could understand the struggles in their hearts when they received the letter. What they felt was not the authority of an apostle, but a sense of brotherhood, a warm concern from an elder brother. I think this is the most essential. Brothers and sisters, we're in one house. We should be considerate and understanding with one another. Love is the greatest ministry. Thus, chapter 7, verse 1 is already my favorite. Or do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on one person only as long as he lives? Do you know what I like the most in this verse? That's right, it's the word brothers. Firstly, sisters, don't get me wrong, the brothers here include sisters. The truth and the spiritual principles mentioned are suitable for both men and women. It applies to all brothers and sisters. I hope that everyone who believes in the Lord can see in our eyes that our brothers and sisters are in one family. Then our attitudes will be different. Definitely, we will love and cherish one another more. We are not a member of the church. Definitely, we are not people who just sit together without any relationship. Brothers and sisters, our eyes shall be opened. We shall see that the church is the house of God. Please allow me to say, many churches have changed their nature. It's just a gathering place, a place for socializing, and has become meaningless. Brothers and sisters, this is not the church that God desires. Brothers and sisters in the church should love and support one another and have the closest spiritual connection in the presence of God. Such house is the greatest satisfaction in the heart of God. We shall work together to establish a church after the Lord's heart and restore the church the way it should be. Paul wrote the letters to Romans for the brothers and sisters in the church in Rome. There were different types of people in the church in Rome. But I can say chapter 7 was especially written for the Jewish believers. That was the Jewish brothers and sisters. As Paul stated clearly, I'm speaking to those who know the law. The people he refers should be the Jews. Yet there may be some Gentiles in the church in Rome who were very familiar with the law. Or there may be some Jews who didn't understand the law well. But I think Paul wrote specifically to people who value the law, but their hearts had struggles and conflicts because of the law. Truly, Paul liked to set their hearts free in pursuing and gain the Lord joyfully. They could experience and enjoy their union with the Lord joyously and gloriously. Not only they could satisfy the heart of God, but they could bear fruit for God. If you read the letter to Romans chapter 7 in the same direction as me, I believe you will enjoy it very much. Since the law of God is supreme in the heart of the Jews, they always obey the law. But the Jews who believe in the Lord would think, well, should I sacrifice? Should I be circumcised? Should we keep the Sabbath? The contradiction in their hearts are really huge. Therefore, Paul spoke to them, to those who knew the law. I believe those who knew the law were those who were determined to pursue. If they aren't, they would not have any struggle. What is a struggle to do something casually and not seriously? Paul has already given a very clear answer in verse 2 and 3. Could the law bind a dead person? No. The law binds a person while he is alive. Thus, when we sue someone, we won't sue a dead person. We sue those who are living. And those of us who believe in the Lord are dead. Who is dead? We die under the law. To Christ Jesus, we are alive. Paul has also made it very clear that we believers are not under the law. We are not restricted by the law, for we are free. Paul used a parable to illustrate this. If there is a married woman whose husband died, she could marry someone else, and she could belong to someone else. I shall read verse 2 and 3 again. For a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives, but if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, he will be called an adulteress if she lived with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, and if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. That means it was no longer a sin even we as Gentile can understand. In fact, Paul extends this metaphor to us. Our sins are forgiven because the Lord Jesus died on the cross for us, and he bore our sins. When we die with the Lord, we were no longer under the law and were released from the law, and we belong to the risen Lord. This is the meaning of Paul in verse 4. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruits for God. After reading this Bible, I think Brother Paul was smart indeed. He actually implied that our relationship with the Lord, that we belongs to the Lord, and we're united to him. The church is the bride of Christ, the wife of Christ. Christ is the husband, the beloved of the church. Brothers and sisters, our relationship with the Lord is so deep and so close. Husband loves his wife. Christ, the Lord Jesus, desires us. Brothers and sisters, we should open our eyes, not only knowing, but enjoy our precious and loving relationship with the Lord. And that's the most essential. Don't just keep saying that the Lord is my beloved, I'm his love. Brothers and sisters, are you truly experiencing and enjoying it? Is this relationship attracting your heart? May the Lord help us to have the deepest loving relationship with him and live with him day to day. When we read verse 4, we read the word belong to. In fact, this chapter in the Bible follows the previous chapter in the letter to Rome, chapter 6, in which chapter 6 mentioned baptism. It expressed that we united with the Lord and dwelled with him day by day. Those who are baptized in the death of Christ are also baptized into his resurrection. We who commit sins formerly are already dead. We who are alive and are new creations, who are justified by faith and live by faith. Not only have we died and been buried with the Lord, we have also been resurrected with the Lord and sit with him in heaven. The fruit we bore was the fruit of sin, the fruits of death in the past. But now we can bear fruits to God and satisfy his heart. The meaning of bearing fruits to God is that we are in the likeness of God. And there is one more meaning. To bear fruits to God is to glorify God. I'm so grateful while reading this. I give thanks to God for my life. What a glorious transformation and promotion. It's very treasurable. Not only we can honor him to satisfy his heart, we also the most like him. We the dear child of God. The beautiful seed of God is within us. Lastly, I'd like to share verse 6. When we read verse 6, you will be deeply impressed that this chapter is closely linked to the letter of Romans, chapter 6. That is to say, we have to live a life of union with the Lord. What is chapter 7, verse 6 about? But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in a new way of the Spirit, and not in the old way of the written code. This verse was about the new way in particular. What is the new way? That's the newness mentioned in the letter to Romans chapter 6. We too might walk in newness of life. No longer it is about work or by keeping the law. Thus, Paul said, not in the way of the written code. Then, what is the way? It is by trusting in the Holy Spirit that we lived out as the new creations, no longer living under the law, but living in grace and in love with the Lord. What Paul liked to say was that we are released from the law now as we have satisfied its requirements through the death of Christ for us. To release means to become invalid. The law was no longer binding us. Paul liked to make known to the brothers and sisters in the church of Rome, and also to the brothers and sisters today. Our lives has been released from the constraints of the law in the Old Testament. Then what we should restrain? We have to understand that when I talk about constraints, I don't mean to restrain us. We should be restrained by the Holy Spirit. We should listen to the words of the Holy Spirit and enjoy the work of the Holy Spirit. What the Holy Spirit wants us to do most is that we united with the Lord and live with the Lord. When we understand that we already belong to the risen Lord, our life have been forever united with Him, then we don't need to struggle anymore. Our spirits are released to live with Him, serving God and bear fruits. Life is truly full of hope. I've shared with you verse 1 to verse 6. As for verse 7 to verse 25, you can read it on your own. But what exactly did verse 7 to verse 25 are about? First of all, it states that the law is good, for it reveals the sin of man. Therefore, Paul didn't deny the law. He explained the relationship between the law and sin. And the biggest problem is not the law, but the sin of man. After the doubt is clear, Paul explained by using his own experience to brothers and sisters about the battle in his heart. The battle between flesh and goodness. Those who pursue the Lord does have struggles because he doesn't want to sin. Who doesn't want to offend the Lord and doesn't want to upset the Lord? It's not because of the law. It's because of love. Thus, there will be struggle in heart. Since we're in flesh, there is some struggles in spirit. Yet, we can win the spiritual battle when we relied on the Holy Spirit and set our mind on the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, that's all for my sharing. I really hope you enjoy your relationship with the Lord. You're already living with the Lord. May you continue to read the Bible and draw close to Him and enjoy your sweet love experience with Him on earth. May the Lord bless you.